Welcome back, everyone, to the wonderful world of Cosmic Crit 2.0. I'm your GM, Patrick, and as always, I'm joined by five folks, including Delightful Drew, Gentle Jabert, Miraculous Miles, Resourceful Rebecca, and Tenacious Tyler. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, you're going to have to come up with five more of those next week.
This feels like old times. What's going on?
Yeah, well, we don't often have like a clean episode break, but we are finishing off part one of the adventure Guilt of the Grave World, and we're getting on into part two, so I figured little break before we get back into the action soon of Guilt of the Grave World. But like you said, it does feel like an old episode, Rebecca. I do like our new episode format. I hope our listeners are enjoying it, but there is a lot less chit chat time kind of towards the beginning of the episode, a lot less reflection time where we talk about what happened on the previous episode. So
it's business now.
Well, we can do a full
shrinkflation hit our podcast.
Oh, 1/5 of the season. We can just like condense it into, I'm going to give us 200 seconds for the last 12 or whatever many episodes we've had. You can have all the small talk just in the next like 3 minutes or so. Anything you want to talk about? I do have preloaded topics if you want a conversation starter, but you can say whatever you want. Starting now. I'm putting a timer on. Click. There you go.
I would like to announce to the community that we have recently learned that prior to the season starting, this did not exist. But now Pathbuilder and maybe other builders out there on the internet now can combine Starfinder and Pathfinder. Mm-hmm. So highly recommend using that to correct your character sheet, as I did, because I apparently made some mistakes. So hopefully things are better from here on out.
Yeah. I got battle medicine, guys. Now you can I can heal even more. I'm all out of spells.
Now you can never die. No one dies.
It's just nice having tools out there that support the system as it's meant to be used, right? Like, it's not just Starfinder or just Pathfinder anymore. It's both or any or all, if you want. So, yeah.
All of the above. Okay, well, that was kind of podcast discussion.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not good at non-podcast. It's okay.
This was supposed to be the chit-chat corner, and you've taken up about...
Miles and I are being deadly quiet because we got called out for just doing an episode of our other podcast in one of these the last time we had a chit-chat section.
When it gets quiet, Drew and Miles just go into Moya Nerd mode, which, I mean, you don't understand. When the Moya Nerd ends, it's what we do anyway. We will be drinking copious amounts of alcohol and still going on long after that end button has been pushed.
I can attest. It can be many hours before Drew comes back upstairs after a nerd episode.
I have to export things. I have to wait for processing to happen. I have to put music on stuff.
I gotta keep my boy company. That's what we do.
It
happened.
How do we feel about the like
60
sharp
seconds? 60 seconds left.
The sharp increase in quirky NPC tag-alongs that we have this season. What with
the ship's
AI, and now this holographic bat I have to haul around. This is ridiculous.
Bruce is maybe one of the best characters that we've had.
No, Bruce is not one of the best. Absolutely not.
Typically, Rebecca gets sidelined with these NPCs. And it's the first time that you've had to deal with it, Tyler. I think that's why you're complaining.
I know. I'm complaining because I don't want everyone to start treating me like the bad guy when I inevitably kill this thing. I'm giving everyone so much heads up.
Wow. Well, no, we treat you like the bad guy because you're useless and brutal.
Oh, don't you start.
Can't roll a 20 to save your life. The villain.
I know I've just given myself the worst karma for the next battle we have. But like,
oh, I know. You're about to get it.
It was worth it.
Okay, you know, maybe Captain Concierge can babysit Bruce for a while. Maybe that would make things better. I bet they would get along very well.
It's not how it works. It's tied into his brain stem. So
maybe we'll bring Mr. McScruffins into this timeline.
Mr. McScruffins doesn't exist in this timeline. It's going to be evil Dr. McScorpions.
Does he not exist, or is this just long after?
It's not that long after. I mean, he could still, it'd be like a very old dog.
Well, he's also a space puppy. I'm sure the like richest man in the galaxy figured out a way to elongate his dog's lifeline.
You just keep cloning the same dog. Or younger dogs, and infuse their blood into Mr. McScruffins.
Serums. I figured that could help. You know,
each one extends his life by 10 minutes.
You're just like,
someone's job is to just keep injecting the an IV into your.
No, he would have to be constantly. He'd have like one of those little pouches that's like hooked up to him, like insulin.
Colonoscopy bag. Full of chemicals.
Not like a colonoscopy bag. He's not pooping out his life force.
We've been going over our 200-second time.
No, this is why the chit chat corner doesn't exist anymore.
Everyone,
like we should harbor this episode just for like lore nonsense.
I mean, this is gonna be we've had several weeks of pretty exciting combats against fire extinguishers, so probably nothing super exciting happening this week. If we're ready to get back into it, this episode so-and-so starts in montage mode. We watch as a time lapse of the Nova Rush crew begins to play before us. The five of you going about your lives in downtime, taking turns on the bridge of the ship. We watch as you each change over two folks at a time. Were they 8-hour shifts? Is that what we discussed?
I do not know.
Like 3 8-hour shifts per day? Yeah, and then while two folks are managing the bridge or going down to the engine room and kicking it, the other three of you are like, you know, it's a time-lapse photo. So you're like puttering around the ship and relaxing in the galley, napping in your quarters, and all the while you can watch and see as Captain Concierge is popping up holographically from time to time next to you. Sometimes he's walking alongside you, like in the air, like a foot above the ground as you talk. Other time he's just reclining in the air like the Cheshire Cat, just hands behind his head, getting real comfy. I would like to be a hologram. This sounds like a very fun existence. But yeah, the frenetic pace of this time lapse slows down to a crawl, and you can see, indeed, this has all been taken by a single floating security camera that Captain Concierge uses as kind of like his eyes around the ship. And he is showing you this video on a holographic data pad in his hands. I made this for you all. I did a little time lapse, show you how relaxing and fun life aboard the Nova Rush can be. Well, you know, if Clan Ulrika is willing to keep you on their payroll, if you want to continue work for them, that is, you know, that means, you know, you'd be like a new family moving into this house permanently. And I'm the house. You're moving into me. Doesn't that sound great, everybody? Captain Concierge and the Nova Rush crew. GM characters in your adventures, but I can't really leave the ship unless, I don't know, someone finds some kind of holographic mobile projector device. Well, that seems crazy.
No, this isn't Star Trek Voyager. We do not want to give you any mobility.
Yeah, we gotta wait until season 4 before that exists.
Right.
I'm gonna go out and buy an off-the-shelf overhead projector and print him out onto a slide and stick him in a corner.
You guys get attacked by like a giant space worm and you have to change out his regular face to like the Home Alone hands on jigs like Good times. But yeah, well, doesn't it sound good? Don't you want to stay on board the Nova Rush after, now that this mission's done? Please,
we can sell this ship, right?
Well, no, technically I think it's still under ownership by Ulrika Clan Holdings, but they're probably going to let you stay on board because you did such a great job with your mission.
Is our mission complete? Well, I'm confused.
You explore the space rock, this alpha station, like you said. So, yeah, that's why I called this meeting, everyone. Indeed, a half hour before you guys were all sent a message labeled Team Building Video Series Part 1, headed by Captain Concierge.
I can't imagine anyone on this team would have shown up to anything that had that header.
It was required.
Lucardus would have, yeah.
There's at the bottom it says like free snacks, and it's like what you would have been eating anyway for your galley meal. But yeah, well, I mean, you guys, I can leave the room if you want to talk about me behind my back. I can understand if you want some privacy. I just thought you might want to give me some feedback while we're all here.
Well, some initial feedback from Drew, the player character, is that you missed an obvious opportunity to say behind my aft because he's the ship.
No, Patrick, you in the right there.
Okay. What about your character, Drew? How's he feeling?
I think he's very over this conversation. He's not been out in space very often, and with his particular, you know, biological needs of getting in water, it's always a little interesting on non...
You got a bathroom that you could flood.
On non-Kalo ships, especially.
I was going to ask you, Drew, like, what is that situation for him? Like, does he not have, like, a chamber or anything that he can go in? Or is it just being in that suit all the time?
We've made it so that his bedroom on the ship can be flooded, that we can... It's literally, he lives in the bathroom right now, which is...
Yeah, he's got a jacuzzi.
Unbecoming.
Yeah, got a jacuzzi.
But yeah, if I don't,
like,
you
a
know...
Like back to tank.
If I don't submerge myself in water periodically, I believe it's after 24 hours, I start to take fortitude downsides and stuff like that.
Even
in that case, you probably want to stay on the Nova Rush. You have a nice, comfy spa to hang out in.
Yeah,
right?
Or I could get my own ship that's designed for Kalo biology, and the whole ship could be filled with water.
Yeah, I don't think that the Vesk would be very comfortable there.
Well, no, but I do understand that, at least from Drew's character's perspective, because, I mean, he's basically, like, getting to be free in a closet. Like, perspective life for the rest of us. Like, it's the equivalent of just living in a closet.
Yeah, except it's the bathroom where people go to the bathroom.
Hey, I'm on your side.
No, there's another bathroom. We don't use that bathroom. We are respectable people.
Were we supposed to stop using that bathroom? Oh, I am so sorry. Oh, man, I misunderstood that entirely.
Who keeps pooping in my tank?
Kitty brings its own litter.
I mean, I'm thrilled that we're going to get to keep the ship. I mean, I mean, y'all.
Well, it doesn't.
I'm not a big AI fan myself. I'm one of those old school technology types. But you know, hey, it's better than what I used to live in, so I'm pretty thrilled.
I have to admit that I'm not opposed to creating our own path and our own quest and our own goal here, but I do think we need a path to go on.
We should find that path.
Target.
We should.
Our next target is an Alibrian to take back to that station and figure out what's behind that door.
We'll be past.
Oh, I don't really care to go back to the station.
Do you get it? Do you get it?
We heard the Pathfinder, yes. It's a Pathfinder. We're a Pathfinder. We're all Pathfinders.
Now, we're here to find our own stars.
It's very dark in here. If only I could find a star.
I know that we have, like, longer term situations to plan, but tell you what, I'm just excited to get back and get the money and do a little shopping. You know, we're in the same digs for a while, and it'll be nice to have some dough to spread around.
Patrick, is there anything that, like, throughout our adventure thus far that we've kind of come across that seems like it's an avenue we need to take? Like, have we come across something that we're like, hey, we need to look into this specific, like some sort of overarching thing? Or right now, have we just kind of been doing kind of the beginning of an adventure work?
I don't know. You guys tell me. You've had some various...
I don't remember yesterday, so I need you to help me.
But we've only been playing for months, Miles. You don't remember something that happened months ago.
Read my copious notes.
I could. Notes? But as I told Patrick at the beginning of this adventure, that was a fool's
errand. I called him copious. That makes him much less attractive.
Yeah.
I put TLDRs at every session has a TLDR.
Are the TLDRs longer than a sentence? They're not that TL, really? Then. Or they are TL. They're super TL.
So the TLDRs need their own TLDRs. Is what I'm hearing. But no, like, have we noticed something like that is particularly vexing to like this whole group? Because the reason I'm asking is,
other than the AI, right?
All yeah. five of us are from different paths. We ended up together by accident. Yeah. So there needs to be a reason for us to stay together, other than like, come on, guys.
Well, remember, like, we're a team. We're a team that was formed by.
Yeah, I understand
that one guy.
This mission part, and I'm not talking in character, bud. You don't have to talk to me in character.
I'm not talking to you in character.
Oh,
whoa! This is my normal voice.
You did have a Lacarus voice, but like, is there something that's like keeping this core group together right now?
Our employer.
Yeah,
I mean, we still have to go just and finish that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Kind of. There's two different employers, right? there's the guy who built us a team and told us go out and take care of whatever Clan Ulrika needs you to take care of,
right?
Which is what we've done. So if we report back to Clan Ulrika and Clan Ulrika, and we give all the information, and Clan Ulrika isn't like, oh, holy crap, hey, let's maybe can you go, you know, taking all this information, can you go do this other thing that we need to do that like works off of that?
Right.
Then it would be like reporting back to our boss and being like, hey, job done. What else do you have for us? That would kind of be how I see it going.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can talk about it here as we talk about your characters a little bit in these downtime, this video that you just saw. What have you guys been doing with your downtime? I know Drew Ulithal Alu has had a little taste of ancient magics aboard this space station. Some very interesting Alebrian, Yoxian magic that seemed an ancient scale that has been lost to the ages. You saw signs of rituals that seemed to be more powerful than even the most massive technomagic spells of today. And you didn't see notes or things left behind, but is Ulithal interested indeed in getting a living Alebrian to unlock that station's core? Maybe find, maybe that's where all a treasure trove of spells and powers are located. Well, that's what made the station work.
I think part of his issue is that, you know, he thinks of himself pretty high. He regards himself very highly in his understanding of things. And when encountering this magic for the first time, all it did was upset a bunch of orbs that we then had to fight, and then he got no answers. So I think he's kind of walking away from this a little salt watery, because he's like, just because he wanted to find this stuff out. There's this whole resource on the station, and he just couldn't make it happen. Couldn't get anything going on. So
can you imagine if? I mean, I don't think it says not to do this, but I gave you guys the option to play an Alebrian. Can you imagine if like the adventure was just over because you're like, oh yeah, that's me, I got this. That would really goof things up. Pretty bad, pretty bad.
Patrick likes to live dangerously.
What? I was like, no one's going to pick an Alebrian. But then some of you start rolling randomly for characters. I was like, rah, rah. I'm going to have to make it so they have different clone DNA. Part Alebrian. Yeah, I think, Ulithal is definitely enticed into this kind of core mystery of Alpha Station, but I mean, you could very easily become kind of like an expert in this field, because I mean, this is magics that have not been practiced since way before the gap, you know. Yeah. And it's something that perhaps you've been made fun of in the past.
Never, not a single time.
Being like a hipster magician.
No. Everyone he's ever encountered has thought he's the coolest person. So that's kind of.
All right. Well, I'm gonna make a secret poll in Discord. We'll see how that works out. Yeah. Well, what about, as we're sitting around the table, what's Zeldin Gutter Young thinking about this mission to Station Alpha? You're not quite an old dog, but you are certainly long in the tooth. How do you think this team did in their battles aboard this rock, the space rock?
They've got some promise.
Some moxie.
They got the moxie. They got the guts.
Do
they have the skills?
Do you think they'd be alive if you were not there with them?
No, certainly. I did all of it. I did all the heavy lifting for sure.
I mean, Ulithal, did you go down to dying at any point in the adventure so far?
I think
everyone else did.
I think I got down to low.
Close.
I got down to one. I think I got down to one. I can't remember if I actually
went down. I've definitely been down and needed Zeldin at my lowest time. And thank you, Zeldin, for being there. I mean, you know, you serve a very important purpose.
Well, it's dangerous. Dangerous out here in the.
In fairness, the only cantrip that I have like that is stabilize. And meanwhile, Drew's over here complaining about missing 3 hit points. And so.
You know, I was down to 3 hit points.
I mean,
yeah. Several characters almost died, and you've opted through your deity to experience a lot of their pain with them, kind of take it away from them. And, you know, not being able to see them super well, I think you get a different sense of maybe how they respond to being attacked, forming a bond with them, a magical bond. Do you think anyone here might be kind of a kindred spirit as far as your deity goes, as far as enjoying kind of a pained existence in some ways? Who do you think is the most like you?
Wait, I guess me?
Yeah.
Oh,
Zeldin.
Ooh. Ooh. Eeny, meeny, miny.
I don't know.
I haven't spent enough time with these guys yet.
You've got history with Hethaeun, but it seems like you guys are kind of opposites, you know?
Yeah.
Cats and dogs.
Yeah, we're cats and dogs. We're chewy.
Yeah, that's what makes us awesome.
That's why we work together. We're like peanut butter and jelly. You'll never guess which one's the peanut butter.
Hethaeun seems a little more pop punk, and you seem like emo rock.
Is Zeldin also allergic to peanut butter?
Patrick, as someone who is well versed in both those things, there is a lot of crossover in that Venn diagram.
Right. It's that picture of the two sisters, and one of them's like black hair, black sweater, and the other's got like the rainbow hair.
I think you're mixing up some subcultures there.
I'm not with it. It's cool.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you, man. I built this character to be sort of like an old hand soldier kind of person, and clearly I lost my way somewhere. I made an absolutely incompetent nincompoop.
The path became thorny and dense. And
he was going for hard rock, but got Nickelback.
Yeah, exactly right. I got. I didn't even get the Nickelback. I got the Creed. And that's where I'm sitting right now.
And you just took that character with the arms wide open.
So I'm really looking for the character in the space now.
The human
we'll find it.
I'm gonna grope around until I hit on something.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about Creed anymore.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe how good I was at fighting when I could see stuff. Like, oh boy, if I could see where you were, ooh, I'd shoot you probably pretty good.
You'd be so mad.
Your head'd be like a cantaloupe.
Oh Lord,
your head's a watermelon, and my gun's Gallagher. Pachow. Well, speaking of Thayun, your former whore buddy and current compatriot Miles.
Yo.
You've had a few good days of sleep here in the Drift, but your character does perhaps always seem to sleep well in Drift travel.
Mm-hmm.
But your waking hours are still extremely haunted in the Drift by the entity.
Well, not just that, but like Hethaeun just doesn't like being stationary and like not having even a direction to go in. Like right now, like Hethaeun like might try to like play off like he's cool, but like mentally he's literally like clawing at the walls. Like he it, like the idea of being like in one place and not having a direction drives him nuts currently.
Is being on board the ship difficult for you? Like, do you want to get
no. It's not the location. It's not having any direction. Mm. Like even it's like, oh, report to your, you know, your employer or whatever. That is not enough. Like not knowing what he's going to be doing next, not having a keyed in adventure and like destination, especially if it's not a destination that's far away from where he just was, is already making him jittery.
Right. Right. Your entity that follows you around indeed perhaps exacerbates this feeling.
Yes.
The spectra, it feels like sometimes you can hear them in your mind, but as you look around, you can see it much more clearly when you're in the drift, a shadow of what seems like a figure made of various parts of their body kind of appearing and disappearing, made of glass and metal and energy kind of falling in on itself.
Yeah, Gary just deeply unsettles him.
Gary stands for gray, oh, no. Alternate reality entity.
He's not even just gives the entity like a like non-threatening name just to like be able to refer to it as something that isn't terrifying.
Well, and it's hard to quantify because you try to give a face to it and its face shifts constantly. Right. The voice sounds at times like tones, other times it feels like colors you're experiencing. But also, whether looking at it or some of its power, it makes you think of memories every once in a while, and you get all kinds of feelings coming off of it. And its form does change as well. So sometimes it's taller than you, sometimes it's shorter. It can feel like both an avuncular as well as a naive presence all at once. Sometimes it seems a little antagonistic. It feels like it's yelling at you. And other times it's like stone silence. And you can feel its pity or its distrust of you. So it's definitely turned up to 11 when you're in the drift. It seems like it has a better connection to you. But once again, no one else can see this. Yeah, space ghost.
It does, but at the same time, the only time Hethion feels any sense of calm is when he's in the drift.
Do you think Hethion is at all troubled once more wearing the captain's hat? You've had something similar in the past. Are you holding up well with it with this new crew?
Yeah, the crew itself is not really something that he's like, command's not something that bothers him. Mm-hmm. Right now he's not someone who's haunted by like having to lead people, despite the fact that he's been part of several revolutions and been in many many dire straits as an adventurer. That's not something that really haunts him. Especially since he's literally haunted, like it's less of a thing for him. But no, he is actually pretty confident in this new crew because he feels that everyone offers something completely different and unique. And as a group, if they can learn to like, and including him, like kind of fine tune what they're all best at as a unit, they could be pretty unstoppable.
You're not at all haunted by the ghost of a former enemy in the face of Tavrazul Vin walking around the ship here?
No, and I think one of the most interesting things for him is the awkwardness of, like, you know, the war is over, and at least for Huthayan, like, while he did bitterly fight, you know, against Vex, he is also much more interested in the kind of acceptance of the two cultures and the two races. But he himself is still trying to find what that is. And and that is more interesting to him than any sort of grudge. Though it's not something that he has let Tavra know or even his other crewmates. Like, I mean, no one really knows how he feels about the Vex, but that is something that he has absolutely thought about.
Well, speaking of Tavra, Rebecca, you've had some time downtime on the ship here. What does Tavra do on this return voyage back to Star Citadel Theodrain? In your montage, what do you see yourself doing the most?
Yeah, so I think Tavra is going to convene with not only Demora Tosh, but in her dealings with Demora Tosh, try to find her own path and use this multicultural vessel as a way of exploring other ways of approaching her faith, if you will. I think that thinking back to what she had heard about the Battle Saints, and in particular about Yogesh and her own theories about Yogesh the Willed and who Yogesh may have been, especially given the recent or relatively recent war with Pacha, Tavra has some theories that perhaps Yogesh was kinder to the Pacha, maybe not as in line with what the Vescarium would normally have really pushed for, maybe sought other paths toward, whether it be peace or just understanding. And I think that Tavra is taking that to heart. I mean, it's really just her interpretation and her speculation at this point, but it brings her solace, and especially given the place that she is right now. I mean, she's seen these very different people around her is sort of for the first time in her life. She's been thrown in with this very diverse group and has seen all of them have their own, you know, things that they bring to the table that she didn't necessarily realize that, you know, maybe the Vesk need more than just one perspective, which is really what she was seeking in leaving the Vescarium, was like, what else is out there in the world? So I think that she's perhaps found some glimpse into that by being thrown among this sort of crazy crew and crazy circumstances and, you know, things that they didn't anticipate would happen and that no one even theorized could be something they could find. So I think that she has a lot to ponder and you know, introspect about right now.
So a lot of praying and kind of meditating on what you've done.
Yeah.
I got to imagine in a lot of ways the diaspora feels like the exact opposite of the Vescarium. Vescarium is very rigid, very safe, you know, very explored. Almost every corner has been kind of mapped out, whereas the diaspora is just lawless and unexplored planetoids and asteroids and very dangerous. You definitely felt much more protected inside the Vescarium, but out here it seems like you're going to have these four's backs and vice versa to survive. I wonder if your thoughts go at all to your brother, whose last known whereabouts are piling through the pact system, the diaspora, if he had to have a similar crew of, you know, at one time strangers that hopefully had his back, protected him in a place like this. You've run into pirates and corpse fleets in this dangerous mining operation. It's definitely not a joke. No easy rides through the diaspora. I guess technically you're taking a pretty easy one through the Drift, but
yeah, that's true. I mean, I think that he was a lot of the inspiration for her, you know, to leave the Vescarium in the first place and think about what might be beyond just the, you know, rote militaristic, you know, right and wrong that she was taught all her life. He explored outside the Vescarium, so why shouldn't she? So yeah, I think he is absolutely always on her mind.
Last but not least, as this meeting is wrapping up, Tyler, you get the sense that your small AI conscious Bruce has been derezzed, but has still been like on and perhaps watching you. You can kind of anticipate when it's about to materialize and ask a bunch of questions. It's like the nails on a chalkboard feeling down your spine. You're just like, and this time it doesn't seem like Bruce is coming out. It seems like he's just like holding on to that, like a high pitched whine in your ear. E, just so a letter, lowercase e, constantly. You want to invite him out? You can call him out with his name.
Oh no, thanks.
Okay, well, make me a fortitude save. I'm gonna make you play this game, Tyler.
I know you are, but
you will watch as Lakardas buckles over in pain, grabbing at the sides of his head like he's about to get scanners.
You're giving me a headache in game. It's not cool.
I'll give you one in real life if you don't watch it, Tyler. You watch your...
What do you want from me?
You watch your tongue, sir.
I don't know what you want from me.
I want you to say, what is it, Bruce? Or something along those lines.
Oh, but I hate Bruce. Why would I interact? I'm trying to think of a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to think of a reason why I would interact with this entity that I disdain.
All right, you got a space headache. It's official now.
You can just force it. Yeah, there you go.
Bruce pops out, and immediately you feel more relaxed. But instead of in your brain, you can hear his voice. Everyone can hear his voice. Hey there, Lakardas, what are you doing? I hope you're not thinking about killing anyone. Were you thinking about killing
someone? Do you count as a one?
I do not. I am part of you.
Oh, well, then no, I wasn't thinking about doing anything such like that.
Okay, good, because your Noxon Correctional Institutional System, in CIS for short, would probably try to shut down your cerebral cortex if you tried to do that. So please do not think of murder or manslaughter.
Yeah, no worry. Not something that just crosses the old dome every few minutes.
Sorry, I have to voice this question. I don't have anything besides access to your software and the programming. So while I cannot read your thoughts, I only get a vague sense if you have murderous inclinations. And it seemed like you were really thinking about destruction a moment ago.
Well, destruction is probably a more apt phrase for it. Yep. But, destruction, murder, those are about as far apart as the space between asteroids.
Probably thinking about killing Captain Concierge. I understand. You don't need to say anything else. That guy stinks.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Well, would reprogramming him really count as killing him?
Tell me, Lakardas, how long have you had this thing in your head for?
Wait, you live in it. You would know the installation date.
Oh, I didn't want to pry. I wanted to make chit-chat, small talk, 200 seconds worth.
Wait.
Go.
I really hate to tell you this, buddy, but I'm not going to make it easy on you.
Aw. Well, can't you... Have you tried to have, a back-alley doctor cut it out of you, spoon it with, a serrated spoon like they use for large citrus fruits?
Well, see, that would sure make me seem like I'm guilty of all the things and, the people said that I did, warrant this whole intracranial incursion, but...
Didn't you plead guilty?
Do you want to know the statistical average for how many people plead guilty per year that are really innocent? I mean, there's a lot you can read about on that subject.
I would like to know the number, please, for my data banks.
7.65%.
That doesn't seem high.
Those are the reported numbers. The assumption is that the number is even higher, but people don't report them because they're afraid of being, retaliated against.
If you just talk to yourself out loud about these kind of things, I don't have to have my holographic form out. I will be able to hear you. So if you want me to go back inside the NCIS, I will.
That would be great.
Okay. Bye. Hey, everyone, bye. I am leaving now.
Bye.
No one else says bye. Okay, just
bye. Something.
Nope. He's already gone. Just putting all... Three other names have made Bruce's list, not Zeldin's.
Guys, I'm really sorry. I promise when I figure out how to dislodge the old, glitch in the attic, I'll take care of it.
Captain Concierge is like, good, I really don't like that thing. It's kind of creepy. Don't tell him I said that. Seems like there's really just room enough for one of us on board,
I don't even know if there's that much room, to be honest with you.
Okay. Okay, well, I guess that concludes our meeting here. Oh, and it looks like we're almost at Star Citadel Theodrain. This has been an excellent use of our team building time. And a good use of podcast time. Get to know a little bit more about your guys' characters. But in addition to that, I want to know about your guys' characters leveling up to level 2. Can you
doubled in level? It's amazing.
Can you do that? Yes. Yep. Well, and technically, yes, you have. But also for some of you, it's like your first level up in Starfinder 2nd edition. But for a lot of people, first level up, at least with this character type, maybe class and what have you. What'd you guys get? It's mostly the same for classes in Pathfinder 2nd edition. You typically get a whole bunch of stuff front loaded at level 1 and then get like a class feat, a skill feat, and that's about it at level 2. Sometimes if you're an envoy, we'll get maybe a little bit more, maybe get like skill stuff as well. But does anybody want to chat about that, about what you've gotten? I know it's pretty pretty simple for operatives, right, Tyler?
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly what you said. Skill feat, class feat. Skill feat's boring. We don't care about those. But class feat, I was very happy that to pick up. It's called Elusive Target. And what it allows me to do is if you are attacking me and you miss, then I can step 5 feet.
Ooh.
So it's nice. So like if crazy you step, good. Right, yeah. So if you step up and you're like, oh, I'm going to try to punch you 3 times, but you miss on that first one and you only have 5 feet of, you know, reach, I can just step back and then those other 2 strikes just miss. They don't touch me. So a very nice, very nice against, lots of little enemies.
They'll attack, miss, and then like have to burn an action to chase you if they don't have reach. Yeah.
Exactly.
Pretty good.
Pretty good to help keep me alive so you can't just walk up to me and just beat the tar out of Lucardus.
Well, never say never, but
I'm sure it'll happen.
Never say never. What about Rebecca? What did you get with
Champion?
I always want to say Paladin, but yes, Champion in 2nd edition.
So I picked up Oath of the Defender, which means that allies in my champion's aura will get resistance to a certain type of enemy. And I have to declare that enemy at the type or enemy type at the beginning of the day. But I can choose from aberrations, celestials, dragons, fiends, or undead. And I figure with Eox being a thing here, maybe undead will come into play at some point.
It's crazy. You don't fight a single undead creature in this AP. It's so weird.
I mean,
but tons of dragons and abyssal creatures.
Great.
Nothing but. No, I'm just kidding. There's a dead person on the cover of the book, so you're probably good in taking that.
Fight them, though?
At the beginning of the day, you pick that, and then is it within your aura you get to give DR?
Yeah, so my aura is 15-foot radius, and they get resistance 2 to damage dealt by creatures with that trait.
Just all damage. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
To tank better, so.
Yeah. Make an aura of hatred against a certain enemy type. That's fun. What about Miles? Solarin gets the same kind of Solarian feat.
Yeah, for level 2, I just get a skill feat and a Solarian feat. The Solarian feat that I took, which will benefit me immediately, but will benefit me as soon as I can afford it, I'm grabbing the name, Solar Rampart, which basically allows me to be trained in heavy armor.
Right. Bulkier armor. Interesting. So that can kind of offset you. You do have a good deal of mobility as a Solarian, but...
Well, my main thing is because I've been up front so much and need to be tankier, I probably need tankier armor.
Cool. Well, we can get to shopping pretty soon, so I imagine they take advantage of that.
And then to go with that, I took the feat Titan Wrestler, which is, you know, pretty apropos. But it also allows me to disarm, grapple, reposition, shove, or trip creatures up to 2 sizes larger than me, or if I'm legendary in athletics, 3 times larger than me.
I mean, 3 times larger than you is insane. That's Wicko's large, huge, gargantuan? Is that the next one? That's like indeed a dragon. If you guys come up against a dragon,
don't you're just you want to see a little kitty cat suplex a
knock
dragon.
It over.
Don't tell me you don't want to see that.
I do. What about Zeldin, Jabert?
Yeah. Let's see. I got a skill feat, so I picked up battle medicine for that. But beyond that, I picked up a new curse-bound ability called Meddling Futures, which allows me to get guidance on my next actions. So I can, just as a free action, I can activate this and roll a d4, and then it sort of gives me a type of action to do. And then if I do that action, then I get a benefit to it. So, and that benefit is sort of bound to like how curse bound I am. So it sort of gives me a reason to become like more cursed and to sort of stay cursed. So if I cast a spell, then I get a bonus to either the damage or the healing equal to the spell rank, or that spell rank plus 3 if I'm curse bound 3. So like, or if it's I roll a 4 and it's like you need to like take a move action or something, it's like, okay, well then you also get a bonus to your move speed. And so
it's always a random roll, a random d4.
Oh yeah.
Oh, so that's fun.
It's a random roll. And then if you choose to do something other than that as your next action, then you have to pass a flat check or just lose the action.
Some of these aren't too bad because they're like a single action. But yeah, if you roll Sage, is what I'm saying here, you have to cast a spell. Right. Like it's spell time, baby. Interesting.
So, and then I've taken the opportunity to swap out a couple of spells. So now I don't have like Soothe and Heal and Infuse Vitality as my level 1 spells. So I've sort of swapped out my spells a little bit and got that a little bit sorted out. And then also, as Rebecca was saying, when we moved to the when I was rebuilding this character in Path Builder, I noticed that I messed up my skills, and so I'm supposed to have an extra skill. So I went ahead and put that into crafting for some engineering, so I can do
cool
engineering. So,
well, a lot of changes there. That's good. Last but not least, Drew. What about Uival?
Yeah, I guess like spells, because I got some spells.
You got some spells?
Mostly for my wizard feat, I took Cantrip Expansion so that I can cast a couple of extra different cantrips every day. So I kept being in that space for too many days and not having access to, you know, a spell that would have done extra damage at the earlier part. So now I can kind of get a wider breadth of damage abilities or other abilities that way.
Which it is nice to always have the damage type you need, like at the push of a button.
Yeah.
You can do electricity or fire or cold or what have you.
And I picked up a couple of new level 1 spells as well to kind of go along with getting a little more.
Do you want to give us a taste of what one of them is? Give us a little taste, Drew.
One of them might be too hot to handle.
All right. Well, tell us when you feel like it's cooled down enough for us to handle it. I swear we're ready, but
well, it wouldn't be too hot to handle unless you passed your reflex save. So
there you go.
For some reason, I thought there was a spell called Too Hot to Handle, but I'm guessing that's you being fun.
There's a spell Overheat, which does damage and also overheats what the being is holding, and so if they don't drop what they're holding, they take extra damage.
You could write in parentheses and be like, I'm calling this spell Too Hot to Handle. TH. Cool. All right. Well, that's the old level up for level 2. You know, some of them will be more interesting than others, so we might gloss over some of them a little bit. It's like, oh boy, I get another skill feat this level. But like, you know, level 5 and stuff. And pretty much every time we beat a part of this book, you guys will level up. So going into part 2, level 2 makes it real easy on us. Right, so you guys make it back to the large docking bay port area of Star Citadel Theodrain, passing along the way dozens of mining vessels and company probes coming and going to this giant asteroid space station. as you get out of the Nova Rush, say goodbye to Captain Concierge, you look and can see indeed the exterior of the ship is marred with points where the corpse fleet vessel, the Amaranth, broke through your shielding. There's parts where like micro asteroids have impacted and scraped along the hull of the ship. And in your landing gear is a massive brown rock that seems to have wedged itself in your ship as you took off from Station Alpha, a remnant of the asteroid itself, making your vessel a little lopsided. The stevedores and the dockmaster who wander over to you and look up and wonder at the condition of your ship are all like passing whistles back and forth. They're just whistling Dixie, like, oh boy, look what these guys have done to the ship. The dockmaster comes up to you and he's like, ah, you've had a run-in with the corpse fleet out there, have you? Oh, how are you all still alive?
That's be good.
You good? Are you that good? Oh, we usually have to tell our ships to stay out of the way of a fight, or stand their ground, and those larger mining starships are tough as nails, but not very fast, so they don't have as many options. I'm glad to see you all made it back. You only left port here a week or so ago. Ooh, did you take out an enemy vessel? Did you happen to kill a corpse fleet?
No one that got in our way was around for long.
Oh, that's good to know. There's a real firecracker of a bastard skelly that's been prowling the diaspora the last year. Real thorn in our side here at the Star Citadel Theodrine. Known as Sanimus Slain, captain of the Amaranth. Glad you guys didn't run into him.
What's his deal?
Oh, he's a sadistic son of a salty fleam. Leaves crews alive, but not to tell tales of him. It's said that he disabled ships and lets them die the slow death in the cold of space. Thinks lasers and obliteration too quick, too good of a death for the livies, the living like us, that is. Those Eoxian bones! Those sons of beasts! Don't like 'em. Corpse fleet, more like crap fleet. Don't tell them I said that if you come across Animus Slain, please. Keep my name out of the conversation.
Oh, it's already on all signals.
You show your phone is like in broadcast.
Exactly.
Oh, I'll never get over this. My wife! My wife's gonna kill me.
He pops up. I heard you were talking fleam.
Crud.
Yeah. So you guys are free to report back to Ulrika Clan Holdings. Is that your first stop here?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, once again, you're welcome back to the same meeting room on the top floor there of the Mining Corporation. That'll take us to that map. Waiting for you, already sitting down in front of like a dozen data pads and indeed some little ink pads for writing names, is none other than the orcish lawyer Watson Watsgers. You see he's got different contracts and NDAs and paperwork arrayed on the center console for you. Like, welcome everybody. Come
I'm
right
not
in.
Sure why, but every time we see this guy it reminds me of Marky Mark.
I'm not sure why either, but I'm all about it.
I get the sense that if he'd been there, maybe 9/11 would have gone down differently.
You know,
forgot he said that.
I mean, take a look at this. Take a look at this suit. Yeah, I want to mess with this dude.
Yeah, but he reminds me more of like Nick Offerman as an orc.
Yeah, he looks like Nick Offerman.
I'll try to do the affect. Hold on. Come right in. I want you all to get started crossing your F's and dotting your J's on this paperwork here. And the vice presidents will be with you shortly to discuss your mission. And I've been authorized to transmit your payments as soon as that business is complete. He holds his finger above like the send payment on Space Cash.
I love Space Cash.
Yeah, do you want to start taking a look over the papers? You've already signed like a dozen of these kind of contracts with Ulrika Clan Holdings, but it seems like they got more for you.
We're level 2 now. Maybe we can read better.
Yeah, let's try reading.
All right, who's got legal lore? Who took it this level? No, contract lore?
I've got lore.
Lore? Just blank lore?
That's all my lore. Shit says is lore. So.
Just regular lore.
That's what you get. Up.
You know, the regular kind. So
I took lore. I know about pieces of information.
Do you need more lore?
I know the names of lores. What would the lore?
I mean, could I also roll deception if you felt like a contract was maybe not on the up and up?
I think it would be more perception to read through it and catch something.
All right, let's do it.
All right.
If you want to roll, go right ahead. No one's stopping you. I'm not stopping you.
I'm not playing.
Waste all the rolls you want here. Oh, boy. Are we getting any double digits?
We still don't know how to read.
Not a single double digit. That's a bummer. This is awesome. Jabron's like, I'm not even trying. There could be audio descriptions. They could help you. Do you want to listen in, Jabron?
You know what? I'll listen. I'll listen to the sound of...
It's like a boring AI voice just reading mind-numbing contract information into your ear.
Nah, I fall asleep.
It's pretty good, but you've also rolled a single digit. Yeah. It's a lot of stuff, but he's willing to answer any questions if you have any before the Shadrazes show up.
Yeah, I'll just sign the paper.
Whatever he wants, it's fine.
I'm sure he's fine. He's good for it, right?
Yeah, so not 20 minutes later, Belinj Shadraz and her husband, Rebecca, show up.
Belinj Shadraz sounds like a fake name if I've ever heard one. Somebody just came up with it.
It technically is. Someone did
this person sounds like they were really up against a deadline. They're like,
every name is a name dwarf that somebody came up with.
Drew, God. Oh, why do you got to be like this, Drew?
Can we just stop the podcast? I just lost all desire to move forward.
The more you know, report tomorrow, so we'll try again then.
Yeah.
Do you want to just start it on that now? people say you go.
No, because I haven't watched this week's stuff yet.
Oh, good times.
And by the face, Drew just gave me neither a C.
Nope.
Less than 24 hours. Yeah. So Belinj Shadraz looks very happy and excited to see you all as you're sitting down and signing papers. She's like, it is wonderful to have you all back here in one piece. And so soon, barely a week ago, you left for the other side of the our space system. Well, we appreciate a speedy crew working for us here at the Ulrika Clan Holdings. But more than that, we appreciate those who bring home the bacon, as it were. And I mean, you all have found an ancient asteroid space station that belonged to the Eoxians parked around Iovo. This kind of discovery, beyond potentially being extremely lucrative, it could also be one of the space finds of the entire year. People will want to find out all about it. So, I mean, to say the least, we are extremely pleased and we are excited to finish out your initial contract. But, I mean, no matter what happens here, we would like to contract you all out again. We've drawn up these papers and contacted your agent, Mr. Imozy, and are willing to set up a lease-to-own situation for the Nova Rush. We've had a very glowing review of your crew from the Nav AI Captain Concierge. He actually wouldn't shut up about you, so.
Aw, that's nice.
Yeah, if you all are interested.
I feel like you edit that sentence after he wouldn't just shut up.
He wouldn't just shut up. About you guys. No, give us some time. You can finish signing these contracts. We have a hotel set up here in Space Station Theodrain if you don't want to stay on the ship. We also, there are accommodations for aquatic creatures, Mr. Alu. But yeah, if any of you are interested, you're also welcome to help out Helmut Navdeep. Him and his geologists, scientists are going to work through the data and the samples and things that you brought back from the space station. But yeah, we would like to send you on another mission as soon as we can, as soon as we figure out what you all have discovered.
Guys, we get another mission.
Yes.
I have a question.
Yes, Lacartus?
Does the hotel provide like a continental breakfast?
She like whispers over in Watson's ear. Okay, yes, thank you. Really? Okay. Yes, it provides, unfortunately for free, only eggs, toast, and pre-made sausages, but we can upgrade your package to include the waffle / pancake mini bar and unlimited drinks.
Oh, I'm there. All right. Well, that's
better than a lot of continental breakfasts I've seen in real life lately.
Oh, yes. No, we dwarves very much enjoy a hearty breakfast and a good drink to go along with it. So, like I said, just give us some time. If you want to visit Helmut Navdeep and help him and his scientists out, you can. But you also have been working very hard for over 7 days straight. So I understand if you want to. Oh, that's so good. Oh, did you just come up with that, Zeldin?
Yeah, off the top of my head.
I said working hard.
And I said hardly working.
And you flipped it right around. That does not exist in our verse.
Should have been a bard.
I'm literally going to say that to everyone that I know. Watson, Watsonkers, write that down. Write that down. I'm putting it in the company letterhead mission email next week. Oh, we have fun here. Anyway, yeah, you're welcome to, well, we're going to transmit Pim it right now. She like throws her hand over at Watson Watsker's. You shall be receiving those funds. We have plenty of armorers, weaponsmiths, and entertainment venues here. Do you guys like throwing axes? We have 7 axe throwing locations here. Some of them are axe throwing / bars. Others are axe throwing / movie theaters. You can throw at the screen.
Wow.
Oh, no. Sorry, Zeldin. It is not safe at all.
Oh,
sorry if I gave that impression. No.
I thought it was going to be safe.
It's hardly safe. Not safely hard. That doesn't work as well. Sorry. I tried to do it, but it didn't work. Anyway, yep. Way to go. And we'll see you back here, hopefully, in not too long for your next mission.
All right.
Can't wait.
Huzzah.
What is to come?
Oh, my goodness. Why are you yelling so much? I'm right next to you, Davra. Oh, you scared me.
I tend to come on strong.
I'm right down here. Hello.
What is to come of the strange space station that we discovered?
Well, we don't know exactly what we're dealing with. Historically, from what you found in the records, it does seem like it has been missing. Perhaps it was lost information about it in the gap. There's nothing that we can find, but we are going to do some research. And as I said, Helmut Navdeep, who was the bearded scientist you guys met as well here, this dude, he's going to be leading the research team with the information that you brought back, and we'll tell you what we find as soon as we can. But more than likely, we'll take claim to it, Ulrika Clan Holdings, and see if there's anything else we can do with it immediately.
There is one part that we were unable to fully explore on our own. We would like to know if you're able to open it.
Oh, yes, but I will let Helmut know, and we'll get back to you.
Is Tavra wearing one of the psychic crowns?
No.
Dang.
You can pinch me, though.
What?
Canonically, like, Tamara likes being something. Pinched.
If you want to.
Pinch away.
Like, you can't speak telepathically to me, but you can, you know, there are other ways of like getting someone to shut up or stop talking.
And Rebecca went immediately to pinch, not like tap on the shoulder.
We are not playing pinch the vest. I refuse to play pinch the vest.
I feel like a tap on the shoulder on a vest is not going to do a whole lot of.
Oh yeah, that's
a good way to lose an arm.
No, but vests ain't pinching.
You have to rake her eyes in order to get her attention. Just claw at him.
Oh yes, what is it? No, what did you want to say, Drew?
Oh, I was just going to. You know, maybe we keep that bit to ourselves. Maybe we don't tell them everything.
Oh.
I wasn't telling everything. I was just saying we want to be involved if there is another part of the space station unveiled.
Yeah, but in doing so, you reveal that there is a part that we couldn't get into, and now they're going to be asking why that we couldn't get into it. And we know why.
It's because we're incompetent. They know that.
This story is to be continued on the next episode of Cosmic Crit. You've been listening to the Cosmic Crit podcast. The Starfinder role-playing game and its adventure paths are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder and Starfinder images are property of Paizo and used with permission.